Podcasting 2.0 for May 30th, 2025, episode 222, Pod Pollution. Hello, everybody. We are back after a one-week absence, and boy, does it feel good to be back. We are the place that you tune into to find out what's happening in the future of podcasting, some of what's going on now, and of course, we always like to look back into the past. We are the only boardroom that wasn't invited to the secret Purple Apple London meeting. I'm Adam Curry, here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama, the man who was walking aimlessly in the woods just last week. Say hello to my friend on the other end, the one, the only, Mr. Dave Jones!
The forest.
The forest. Oh, is the forest?
Yes.
It wasn't the woods, it was the forest?
I was in the forest.
But see, walking in the forest sounds not as good as walking in the woods. Walking in the woods with the one I love.
The alliteration.
Yes, well, you know, that's what disc jockeys are all about, man. Alliteration.
Yeah, that was... It was great. It was great to be in nature.
Yeah, so what'd you do? You went out with your son? You went hiking around?
Mm-hmm. Very nice. It was going to be 3 days. We did 2 days. It was like a 20-mile loop.
Uh-huh. Where? What woods? What woods? The woods of Alabama?
Talladega National Forest. Oh,
known from Talladega Nights?
So it's near Talladega. Yes.
Nice.
Talladega 500.
Yeah, very nice.
It's a national forest. It's it is home of the highest point, in Alabama, which is Mount Cheehaw. That's 20.
sounds like an Alabama. Mount Cheehaw.
Mm-hmm.
Mount Cheehaw, mm-hmm. Everybody. Yeah, Mount Cheehaw.
Let's see, how tall is Mount Cheehaw? It's, I mean, by our, you know, by other standards, it's, you know, modest, but for us, it's 2,400 feet.
Yeah,
that's mild.
That's very,
I mean, Texas. That's practically, you know.
Well, we're in the hill country. We are at 1,200 feet where we live.
Oh, really?
It's hill country. Yeah. I mean, it's not that you get much higher than 2,000 or 2,500 feet, but yeah.
What is the highest elevation in Texas? We'll see.
Oh, you got me. You got me on that. It might be, what is that mountain we got near?
The highest elevation in Texas is at Guadalupe Peak.
What's the elevation of that?
Located within Guadalupe Mountains National Park, it stands at 8,751 feet.
That's, holy
that's
crap!
Tall.
That's holy. That's almost oxygen level.
You can need a tank.
We have
a Sherpa to get up that thing.
We have Sacred Rock. What's it called here? Sacred Rock, Mellow Rock, Hard Rock. There's some rock out here, but that's nowhere near 8,000 feet. Anyway.
I like AI says, the peak can be Guadalupe. The peak can be climbed by a maintained strenuous day hike via the what is that? What kind of language is this?
Maintained
strenuous day hike.
Well, okay. It's an LLM. What do you expect? You expect it to mm-hmm. speak English? Oh, don't be so crazy. No. But I will say this week in vibe coding, I figured it out. I know how to do it. It's really cool. I'm digging it.
What was your latest breakthrough?
Well, just now I understand that you have to continuously watch this idiocy. The number of times I'm setting up doing a setup script, so I take two other scripts, templatize it, and I swear to God, for no reason, the AI will change the user agent from Godcaster app 1.0 to Mozilla. Mozilla. Why? Why?
Why Mozilla? That's an interesting choice.
It always does this. You know, like I'm seeing all these 403 errors. I'm like, what's going on now? Oh, it doesn't matter how many times, you know, Grok has this workspace. It will understand things from all conversations in the workspace. Yeah. I don't think so. I've never, a million times, this is the user agent. Do not, all caps, do not always use this. And lo and behold, it changes just willy-nilly.
I've never done vibe coding. I mean, I've used some AI, some LLM stuff to generate some code.
Yeah.
But I don't think I've done the vibe coding thing where you're just kind of like, telling it what to do over and over and like getting output from it.
That's pretty much what I do.
So I'm just wondering what this, I'm a little unsure of how your process works because, like, when you do you feed, so do you get a script and then want to add something to it, and do you feed back its own script to it and just tell it to modify that?
No. So it remembers the script it gave you, and then it's pretty good at creating lots of logging. So okay. It'll say, show me this, show me these logs. And, you know, but it inevitably it's not asking for the stuff that really breaks. You know, it's like, no, I can see clearly what's going wrong. And once you go down a path, you've got to catch it. This is when you have to say, stop. Here's the script okay. that was working. We're starting over. You have to stop it, or it will take you all the way down to a kernel rebuild. I mean, it's just, it is so stupid. I mean, and so I know what I wanted to do. I have limited knowledge of coding, but I understand, you know, and I understand the difference between, okay, so for no reason you put a single quote instead of a double quote. So, and that's why there's an error. Hello. That happens very frequently. Oh, I'm sorry. Typo on my, you're a computer. How can you make this typo? That makes no sense. That's the one thing you should be able to do.
I'm sorry for that. I misspelled that word.
Also, you know, it'll do like, this is all Python scripts. So it'll comment stuff out with quadruple quote marks. And, you know, it's just like, stop. Just don't do it.
What's wrong with, I don't know Python well enough to know what is wrong.
Me neither. But I know that it doesn't work.
Okay.
I've learned a lot more. But so, okay. So the one thing that was just really interesting, I have these two scripts. They work in one instance. I'd say, okay. And I could say to it, replace this number with this number and this number with this number and give me new scripts. Works perfectly.
Okay.
You know, so literally like player number 33, I want you to change that to 18. Telnet port 33, change it to 3018. Okay. Does it perfectly works. So now I want to templatize this. So I just have one script. I give you a number. You create these two scripts with these numbers. And it's derived from this. It's simple, right? Well, no.
Sounds, yeah.
Oh, and it just went down this path because it tried to templatize it. And then it was doing, oh, no, I'm sorry. We have to have double dollar signs instead of single dollar signs. And after 2 hours, I said, you know what? Put these two scripts into a script and just do a search and replace. Boom, script works immediately.
So you could have done that yourself.
Yeah, pretty much.
With a text editor.
Yeah, grep. A sed.
Yeah. Alk.
Yeah, so... but it's been incredible. Very rewarding once you understand how to use these things, which is always looking because it's dumb.
You're going to be a master vibe coder, honestly. You're going to be really good at like knowing where the... You're going to be a prompt jockey. That's what you're going to be.
In a way. Well, Bemro says vibe coding is the easy part. Vibe debugging is where they're... Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I can see... I just understand the basics of coding. So I see the things that are going wrong. But if you don't catch it, man, then you go down a path, a never-ending path. That's happened to me so many times. Now I know. Stop. No, we're not going to do that. I'll even start a new conversation.
Say, because so that's what I was really confused about is when you start. Okay, you have a VC session, a vibe coding session today.
yeah.
And then tomorrow you want to start a new VC session. How do you start that? Because I'm assuming it's forgotten what all you did the day before.
Well, no, because so you can pick up. So you have the workspace. I'm using Grok. That's the only one I've been able to get to work. Okay. And it seems to like Python, so that's fine. So you have a conversation. At a certain point, the conversation is so long, you can see it start to slow down because it's all running in a browser. And then, you know, and then it'll, instead of printing the code in the handy little code box to the right, it prints it out in your conversation unformatted. And you're like, stop, you're doing it wrong.
Starting to lose itself.
So then I'll take the code that works, put it into a new conversation. And because it's well it documents its own code pretty well. So it can read what it's doing. But believe me, the idea that it remembers stuff from other conversations. No, this is where you start a new conversation. Oh, I think I'll turn this user agent to Mozilla because that's just better. That's just better. You just need that.
Yeah. Do you have a prompt that you start with that says something like that you've accrued over time, something that says like, here's the script that I'm working on. Do not change the user agent to Mozilla.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. Do you have like a bullet point list of all the things you're telling it not to
do? Yeah. Two or three of those things. Okay. What's really bad is when you find yourself yelling in all caps, like, you did this wrong again. That's when you got to go take a walk. It's like, okay. And it'll say, oh, I'm sorry. You're so disappointed. No, I can't have this conversation with you. Anyway. So we went to Nashville. We saw basically four mini concerts and then we're a part of an award show, not in the award show, but part of the award show. It's always kind of surreal when you have the podcast of the year award and I'm just sitting there in the audience like, holy cow, man, isn't that cool? Yeah. Isn't that just cool? Yeah. That's
going to feel good.
There's awards now for podcasts and, you know, in the Grand Ole Opry, you know, it just felt kind of
crazy, isn't it?
And so when we got
Now, what was this connected to?
Oh, so K-Love is pretty much, they've bought up every single Christian music radio station, 500, okay. Over 500 of them. They bought them all of them. And they've homogenized it into one station. So they have one morning show. They've got one, you know, they've got personalities, but it's the same across the entire country. And it's a very tight playlist. So all these artists, they're pretty much tied into K-Love. In fact, the Christian music labels are going out of business because they don't need representation anywhere else. There's no other stations to promote.
Wow.
Okay. And so I've been talking to several of these artists, the main one being Matthew West, who he's probably written 25% of the songs these days. Because because they're a nonprofit, they pay an infinitesimal amount of performing rights royalties.
Okay.
So you have your song. This station makes $300 million a year. They just built a $100 million building in Nashville. It's Franklin, I think, with sound stages and everything. So you're Matthew West. You're writing all this stuff. It's only getting played on one superstation. You get almost no money for it. And now you're walking into the $100 million building to do your dance for the people that are basically becoming very wealthy off of your music. Right, and so I've been talking to several people and there is some interest for value for value. There is some real interest. Now, interest translating to, okay, I'll do it is a big step.
As we have learned.
Yes. But you know, I'm pushing, I'm putting the feelers out. They're definitely like, wait a minute. So you had these bands at Antone's in Austin and they made $500-$600 each just from performing on an internet thing. So yeah, pretty much. Oh, okay. So then they get interested, but they're all, I think Nashville's like anywhere else, you know, they're just in case I make it big, I'm going to do it half. You know, don't really want to do it all the way. And I don't own my publishing and the system is really super rigged against everybody.
Man, if you sit down with, Ainsley Costello's mom for,
she'll talk your ear off about how
useless Nashville is now. And I mean, you go there and you end up playing, in those bars and stuff along Main Street.
Yeah. And, that's the worst.
There's like a list of songs that they're like, you're going to play these 25 songs.
Not just that, 4 hours, no breaks.
And you're not even allowed to play your own material. And you can't. So you'll never get discovered because you're not playing anything that's not on the list.
So this all happened in the Gaylord Hotel, which is basically the Biodome. You know, it's like the Truman Show. And so there's this one bar and, you know, like in the afternoon we go there, we sit and have a drink and there'd always be a different Nashville musician performing there. And I get talking with one young lady. He's like, oh, this is really the best gig because I get breaks. What? Yeah. Well, it's 5 hours, ooh, but I get to go to the bathroom at least once an hour. Like, wow. And she was so, Dave, she was so good. She just, it was phenomenal. Her, the way she sounded, she, you know, played guitar, of course. Mm-hmm. And, you know, our church is looking for a worship leader. And so I'm there with the pastors and they say, hey, you know, we have a job opening and this job, it's like $65,000 a year. It's not a crap job.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they're talking to her and she's not married. She's young. She can move whenever she wants, but nah, I'm going to stay in Nashville because, you know, my day is coming. My break is coming.
No, it's not. I'm sorry, but it's not.
No.
Every that's the old thing. It's like, you know, as good as you think you are, every janitor is a better guitar player than you are.
Yeah, it's like you go to LA and your Uber driver has had two callbacks for CSI and he's on the verge of breaking through.
Uh-huh, sure. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Almost. I got two callbacks already. I'm going to be a star. And he looks hot. You know, like, oh, wow. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Our local Christian music station is WDJC. Mm-hmm. And I was looking up to see if they were owned by K-Love.
K-Love,
when they buy a station, do they just rebrand it and it just becomes K-Love local, you know?
Well, the call letters have to stay the same, but it just becomes a K-Love station. There are obviously still a few local music stations, but not many. And, you know,
I see, I don't think this one is a K-Love station. I think it's still, it looks independent. It's got a big staff.
But, you know, so these big networks, another big one, Salem Radio, no, Moody, I'm sorry. They just basically killed 60 plus morning shows in one swoop.
Yeah, that was really unexpected.
Not to me.
And I mean, like, they came out of the blue. The people
who were doing the morning shows didn't expect it.
Yeah, it's like they showed up. It's like that old thing of you showed up and the doors were locked, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And by chance, I guess, is there any such thing as coincidence? My talk with John Fuller from Focus on the Family from NRB went out on, they put it out on a YouTube video. And the title was The Future of Radio is Local. And we're talking about all the stuff we're doing. Lit, on demand, value for value, all of this stuff. And you got people posting like, oh, that's interesting. Oh, yeah. You know, because of course, all this stuff that we're doing translates hyper-local, man. That's what I've been saying. Hyperlocal podcasts for your community, do it live, have it on demand. All this stuff is coming to bear. It'll take another years, you know, a couple of years, but it's happening. It is happening. I can see the future.
Where is that talk to local? Kind of, you said it's on YouTube?
Yeah. I posted it on podcastindex.social. No one commented, of course.
I missed it.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone hates me. I got a comment. I'm gonna comment on Curry's thing. Anyway, So I came back, and then I was onboarded to the new Fountain Blue system.
Yeah, tell me about that.
I'm a paying customer, just so you know. First of all, I learned that $50 a month gets you two shows.
Okay,
that makes a lot of sense. So besides the fact that you can do a lot of stuff that I'm not going to do, like video, very interesting. They're offering video hosting.
I'd like to see how that works. Yes.
You know, the L402, I think, is it 401 or 402?
Two.
Yeah. L402 stuff. So I just set it up. So we onboarded Curry and the Keeper. Cause I said, you know, I'll give this a shot with you guys. So first of all, the onboard, they already had everything in there. And I said, how did you get my boosts in there? So, well, these are obviously only the boosts from Fountain and they had the boostograms, because they have been sending the metadata, formerly known as TLV records, over Noster. But you don't need a Noster account. They're just using the Noster system.
Okay.
And so that was quite impressive that they had everything kind of already pulled in there. What's really cool about this, you know, I don't care about how many people downloaded, but they have everything all in one place. So your boostograms, your fiat support, and it's all in your hosting dashboard. It just makes so much sense. Like, oh, I can use this. Now I get it. You know, your top supporters by episode. It's just, you know, so they have an audience tab. And mm-hmm. and you can see, well, obviously you have the typical where people coming from and all that. An activity tab, which, you know, that's basically helipad.
Right.
And so we also set up just a support thing so that what's coming is the open support, do whatever you want. And so you onboard into Stripe right in their interface, which was impressive. Because I'm like, oh man, is this Stripe thing going to be easy? Surprisingly easy. You know, you just provide you get an account.
I don't know what you mean. I don't know what you mean. So you're saying that you set up a wallet.
No, Stripe with a P.
Okay.
So yeah, the credit card processing.
So, for fiat payments.
Yeah, for fiat payments.
Okay.
So you do that right in the system. And I thought, oh, this is going to be a pain in the butt. But I actually set up my account on the plane right back. And like, okay, I have to do this other stuff. But then when I got in, it's just like log in. And then, you know, it asks you for your routing number for your bank. And within like 5 or 8 minutes, I was done. And the thing was working. I didn't have to set up a product and all this stuff that Stripe is asking you for through their normal setup. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it sets up just sets it all up. It just set it up and it worked. Yeah. And so they don't have the open donation yet, but now if you go to Currying the Keeper and the Fountain app underneath, when you go to the page, it says support this show. And I just set it at $20 a month just to see how it works, and it works. Mm-hmm. And so it's limited to that amount, which is not, in my mind, value for value, but they are going to change. That's coming. There's a ticket out there for it, but yeah, I got it. And I don't even know if they're doing that through the funding tag. I would have to look at the feed and understand how they're doing that.
I was just trying to look it up on Currying the Keeper in my...
you can get the feed from the index. We put a redirect on it. So yeah, okay. Yeah, so that's the L402 spec. That's what did that. So I could have said, here's a bonus episode or here's something else. But I just said, no, you're just gonna get a badge. Here you go, you got a badge. Congratulations, okay, here's your badge. And
play an episode. I just want to see if it gives you the funding tag.
Familiar tune.
So let me hit funding. Yeah, okay. All right, so okay.
So
if
it works.
If I hit the funding button in Cast-O-Matic
mm-hmm.
on the Currying the Keeper podcast, it takes me to a web view, and then that comes up and it says, how much do you want to, let's see, boost, add your name. Let's see, let's do this. Dave Jones.
Is it only boost, or can you do fiat there as well?
It looks like you can do fiat. There's a pay with bank card option.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Okay, it said, heads up, Oscar.
It didn't work.
No. You have a text, you have a style issue in your input form. It's coming through as dark gray on a black background. I can't read my name when I type my name.
Okay, so.
Test.
Okay, boost. Hold on a second. So if this is actually something I didn't even realize. I think the way they've done it.
$10.
I think that. This would be better with video, honestly. Sorry, everybody. But I guess what you're seeing here is a perfect storm of hosting company and app working together and doing a good job. So let me see on my podcast guru, which is my... Here, support this podcast. Okay.
Okay, I just paid you $10 with my Visa card.
Wow. Do I have to take you out for dinner now?
If you want to be a...
let me see. Monetization.
If you want to get the top secret content, yes.
Let me see. Hasn't come in yet. Episodes. For episode 134?
Yeah. Well, I just hit the funding tag.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's tied to an episode or not. I don't know if it's an episode level funding time.
That's a good point. Let me see.
I mean, I sent $10 to somebody.
Somebody got it.
I'm assuming it's you.
I haven't seen it come in yet. I don't know.
I mean, I expect my bonus episode.
Yeah. No, you're getting nothing. Okay. You're getting zero. You're getting zero from me.
Okay, It went through on the credit card to curry.com is how it shows up on the credit card.
Yeah, that's what I entered. Yeah, that's Stripe.
Okay.
So it should show up here, monetization, anytime soon. Let me see. No. Supporters. Oh, I don't see it. That's kind of lame. You expect to see it.
Maybe it went to Oscar.
Well,
that's their monetization strategy.
Well done, boys.
Good job.
I'm sure it came in somewhere. I'm not seeing it.
But I mean, it was an easy experience. I mean, it worked fine. When it comes up, it says,
you can support with sats or you can support with the card, right? Yeah.
Yeah, you get two buttons, pay with Lightning or pay with bank card, and then, you know, it stripes you if you do the bank card. It let me do, actually, I did it with Apple Pay.
Oh.
You hit pay with bank card, when you kick to Stripe, it gives you the Apple Pay option, so I just double-clicked into the Apple Pay.
Okay, that's cool.
I took a screenshot of the text color problem. I'm going to send that to Oscar.
Okay. Okay. So I don't know. I guess that should show up somewhere, but I haven't seen it.
No, it'll show up eventually.
Well, I'll let you know if it does.
I hope it does.
Okay. So that's how they did that. So they tie the funding tag. They tie that to their page where you can choose to use sats or fiat. The beauty of this is, from what I understand, is every app can integrate because all the information is in the feed and the Boostagram information comes through their Noster setup. So I guess they're probably hosting a relay is what I'm guessing.
Yes, they have their own relay. Yeah, okay. That's right. and this is a use case for Noster that just, you know, to me it's Noster protocol, but because a lot of this stuff doesn't even leave their relay, it could be anything. I mean, they could just roll their own. I mean, it doesn't really, at that point, it doesn't really matter if it's right. Noster or if it's anything.
Exactly. I'm just saying, you know, there's been this question about, so what do we do with the metadata? And it seems like they've implemented a solution that works. I don't know exactly how it works, but it's working and it's all open. But I think for me, the big takeaway, because I am a Sovereign Feeds user, and my Sovereign Feeds workflow is a lot of steps and it's prone to some errors because I use external chapter marking technology, external transcripts. So that was quite nice to just upload a file. It gave me, of course, with some AI, gave me a description. A very long one, so I just copied the beginning. That wasn't too bad, that description. It did the chapters, very overzealous on the chapters. You know, it gave me like 50 chapter markers, which wasn't necessary. I didn't feel like going in and editing the ones out that were too much, and there's no images, although I think they're going to do images. And it just kind of worked. It was very fast. But again, for me, seeing my payment data with the other stats, that's the big aha. It's like, ah, okay. I've got everything here except whatever Dave paid me.
Maybe I got rejected. Maybe my money's not, your money's no good here.
And, let me see Stripe, man. I'll look at logging the Stripe.
Oh yeah. Maybe they just pass it on through. Maybe you don't even see it on the,
and from what I understand, they're going to do a lit and give you a stream to go live.
Really?
Yeah.
No way.
Way.
Well, based on your VC activity, it sounds like my live stream. Yeah.
My vibe coding.
Yeah. Your vibe coding. Yeah. It sounds like, It sounds like live stream bandwidth wise is not too bad.
It really isn't.
Okay.
And okay. And even I'm running right now, I'm running, I think, 12 live streams with no one listening. But it takes up about 100 megabytes, a little under 100 megabytes of memory per stream because it likes to keep it in memory.
And 100 megabytes per stream?
I think so. Well, ooh, yeah, but it's reserving for lots of listeners. So I could set it much lower. Okay. I just wanted to know what it would be if we had potentially, 100 listeners per stream, which is a lot.
I got you. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if that's the case, that, you would think that if podcast hosts are talking about doing video.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Lord, the bandwidth on video.
I got your $10, by the way. It's showing up in Stripe, but it's not showing up in the, for some reason. Maybe it shouldn't. I thought it would show up in the Fountain dashboard, but I don't see it. Maybe I'm not looking the right place.
Well, you can send me my merch whenever you get around to it. my wine glass with my name on it. But I mean, like, if podcast hosts are talking about doing video now, and that's outrageously bandwidth intensive.
Well, the big talk is about HLS. Will HLS make it that much less bandwidth intensive?
You know, I guess we could talk about this for a minute.
So yeah.
Let's talk about this. HLS, well, I guess first off, the alternate enclosure for HLS streams, is the right way to go. I mean, you could put an HLS stream in the enclosure tag. But just straight into the enclosure tag. But then, and HLS can be audio and video, either one. I mean, it doesn't have to be either or. HLS doesn't dictate what codec you use.
Mm.
It's just a delivery method.
Mm-hmm.
So alternate enclosure really is the right place to put that. You could stick it in the enclosure tag, but if you're going to take advantage of HLS without breaking this is actually a big topic. Let me figure out that we actually need to start at a different place.
Okay.
The current problem with HLS from an implementation standpoint on the client side is that the built-in audio and video tags within HTML5 does not support it.
Huh.
So you cannot you can't roll an HTML audio or video embed tag and just hand off this HLS playlist URL to one of those and have it work. It won't.
Hmm.
And it may in the future, but it's not reality right now. So the HLS, okay, structurally speaking, HLS is this. You take a piece of content, a media file, audio, video, doesn't matter. You transcode it into multiple different bit rates, if you want to. And then you chop up each of those files. So let's say you have a 4K video file that's 5 gigs. And you're going to offer it with what they call adaptive bit rate.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have the ability to go from 4K all the way down to 640 by 480, and maybe three options in between. You're going to have a total of 5 different files. So that one 5 gig 4K video file immediately gets transcoded into five alternate bit rates and stored, and they all get stored in some object storage backing a CDN. Then and those files are stored in chunks, and so that you're sending a chunk at a time,
right,
to the client.
So the good news is you're not always sending 2 gigs of video data down the pipe for someone to then load up their device and play.
Right. It does not have to. And currently, if you just drop an MP4 video into a podcast feed, every single client is going to download the entire video first, then play it. So you're HLS from that standpoint may save you bandwidth. Because you're not paying for bandwidth for people who don't intend to consume the entire video. And it's a better startup experience because it starts immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a better seek experience because if they don't cache it locally on device, they can just go directly to the chunk that they need. And when you have the adaptive bitrate, it can bounce chunk by chunk. It can bounce between the different bit rates to get the one that's most appropriate for your available bandwidth at the time.
HLS works for audio too, though, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. It does. It's not. It does not dictate a codec.
Hmm.
You can use it for any codec you want. And the way that it does that with them, the way that it does that with the adaptive bit rates is you have sort of like a master playlist that references other playlists for the different video files. But again, you're going to run, there's really two drawbacks to HLS. I'm not being anti-HLS. I'm fine with, I think it's a great idea in podcast clients, but I'm just saying where we're at currently, there's going to be two challenges here. The first one being lack of built-in support in the audio and video tags that many, many people rely upon.
Right.
In HTML5. You would have to roll your own play, like a JavaScript media player, or take one, like an open source one off the shelf, and use that. You can do it. It's more work and it's more JavaScript chops.
I'm going to tell you now that I wouldn't put too much work into it because I don't think it's going to last. People are going to go back doing audio. I'm seeing it already. It's like, yeah, it doesn't pay off. I when people say video, I don't want to sound like Robin Todd, but when people say video, they really just mean YouTube. That's it. They mean YouTube. And YouTube has stats and monetization and all that. And then they'll do it for a couple months. And we're like, well, that's lame. I just don't see it. I don't see it having the future that everyone thinks. When I hear about the Podcast London show and I listen to the Power and also New Media show, it's like the same hype for, what was that Mark Cuban thing?
Fireside.
and then Spaces. It's all the future of podcasting. No, it's not. It's not.
Yeah, it's You're gonna have a massive increase in bandwidth costs, and you're going to have to store way more and process way more data.
Oh yeah.
Now this leads to, and that's
it leads to tears. People is what it leads to. Buckets of tears. Buckets and buckets of tears.
And the real issue here is. Podcast like bandwidth is problematic, but storage space is also a real issue. Storage is cheap, but it's not free.
No.
And if that 5 gig video now becomes 12 gigs because you have to transcode it into 4 or 5 different formats.
Oh yeah.
I mean, you multiply that, you start racking up some storage bills quick.
No kidding.
And the real issue backing this is podcast pollution. It's just all over the place.
Podcast pod pollution. Podcast pollution
is real. It's like that big garbage patch in the middle of the ocean or whatever. The plastic patch.
You mean Puerto Rico?
It's the Puerto Rico problem. It's podcast Puerto Rico because you have by my best guess, 80% of what's in the podcast index is just
junk.
Complete
junk.
Is total Puerto Rican pollution.
I think we should just stay with pod pollution. I don't have a good vibe about calling it Puerto Rican pollution.
Okay, podcast pollution.
Yeah.
It's nobody will ever listen to any of those episodes. Never. They just exist. They will be touched. They will. I did some sort of off the cuff research on
a deep dive?
I did. We're going to do a deep dive on this today.
Deep dive, baby. Yeah, deep dive.
Oh, really? So I did some sort of off the cuff stuff maybe about a year and a half ago where I was looking at, about 90 days worth of logs. It was the same podcasts
over and over again.
Same batch of podcasts getting requested. Mm-hmm. And there was less than a million of them. And the rest of the entire 4.5 million, so like 3.6 million podcasts in the index, literally never get touched. And so that's fine if you're talking about megs.
So how many are actually being consumed according to
a little less than a million. And I mean, this is like a year and a half ago. Mm.
And somehow $7 billion comes out of that. And I see none of it. It's very interesting. Right.
It's fine. If you're talking about, let's say 70 million episodes of that are only a few megabytes a piece. But if you're talking about, 70 million episodes that are 5 gigs a piece.
Yeah. No.
That's a problem. Yeah. That's a real problem. It's going to be a hard push because the real issue is that nobody can compete with YouTube.
We're not with video.
They own all the infrastructure. If you want to be a modern CDN and push video content.
No way.
To the edges.
No.
You can't do it.
YouTube has machines in every data center everywhere in the world. Yeah, they cache it all locally.
They've partnered with everybody when you're watching that YouTube video, it's probably not coming from YouTube. It's probably coming from a data center within a few hundred miles of your location.
Yeah, exactly.
And podcast hosts they don't have that ability. YouTube has such an infrastructure advantage over everybody else that I don't see them ever being able. Nobody can compete.
No. And we don't even know if they're profitable.
Yeah, they may lose money for all we know.
Yeah.
They've never told us if they don't.
You got to wonder. We got to wonder why they don't spin it out as a separate company.
Well, usually when parts of your business are really profitable and doing well, they usually tout that.
Yeah, spin it out.
But they sure do not mention it.
No. Just think of the encoding and everything. It's amazing what's going on over there.
Well, Alex sent me a thing of, a year or two ago, showing like all the custom, what do they call those things? FPGs, those fill programmable gate arrays, FPGAs, all the custom FPGA chips they have that do all their encoding for them. They have entire server farms of custom encoding chips. Mm-hmm. That they built custom
just for this. You know, I see you see Brooklyn 112, but no, I mean, you have to go back to first principles. You can make a successful program with 100 listeners who support you. 1,000 is better, but 100 is okay. You're not making money at all. I've been doing a podcast for 17 and a half years. No video, no frills, no bonus episodes, no Patreon, and two families have lived off of it. It's possible. There's one thing, there's one caveat. You got to have a good product. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. There are blogs making $1 million or $2 million a year. Why? He said, because they have good content. People want to pay for it. They want to support it. It's no way you can have 1 million great products in podcasting. It just doesn't exist. But it could be great for 100 people. So this, we got to get out of this mindset. We have to be big and the numbers. Leave that to Megyn Kelly and Bill O'Reilly and Tucker Carlson. And leave that to Joe Rogan. It's fine. What are you really trying to achieve? Do you want to be them? Or do you just want to have a great show and have people support it and enjoy it and have a community? Which is, in essence, what No Agenda is. It's just built up over time and it doubled during COVID.
Bim Rose, if you're not employing at least 50 people, you're hardly even a podcast.
Yeah, but the whole industry, everything is geared around that thinking about charts and money and downloads and all this stuff. That's not what it's about. It was never about, when we started, it was never about money at all. We weren't thinking of that. I just want to put out a show.
It was about the tag, really.
Yeah. It was just the fact that it worked.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. This sort of leads to a different topic, though. And this is
it cooking related?
Not that I know of.
Okay, just checking.
It can be. Okay, we can shift. But there really needs to be some standard way of registering a pass through, and this is relevant to what you're building as well. With your VC,
mm-hmm.
Let's say. As I've heard a couple of people say from now, I think James and Todd both said this. Let's say that HLS is a push, and it's to some degree successful on the hosting side. Ideally, from the host's standpoint, what the host wants, let's say the hosting company is Buzzsprout. What Buzzsprout is going to want is for something like Apple Podcasts or Pocket Casts or whoever. They're going to want the client, if at all possible, to do one download and then serve that from their own infrastructure to the client.
Ooh, that is interesting.
Well, in that case, because I mean, that would help them out greatly as far as bandwidth costs go. But what that means is what the podcast industry has always wanted, the podcast hosting infrastructure people have always wanted, what they have wanted is what they call pass through. It was a huge battle with Spotify. Spotify initially was caching all the episodes of podcasts,
yeah.
And the hosting companies were like, no, we need to track downloads. So we want you to pass through those downloads to us.
Yeah.
We want to see the get requests. And so in this case, there's such a bandwidth burden that it would be really helpful if they did not pass it through. But in that case, you're going to have to do something to ping the podcast hosting company and let them know that a download or a stream or a view or a play did happen.
It's funny you bring this up because in my sketches of what I'm doing next, mm-hmm. It was literally, okay, so I download a podcast, it goes on to a stream, I want to signal, but I said maybe 5 people will listen to this episode currently. It might be 50 in a year, I don't know. You know, it's all relative. But I still want that information to go back. So what I had been VCing is just doing a, actually re-downloading it. So like, okay.
Just doing another get.
Yeah. Just doing two, like, oh, two people listen to it, do two more gets and then get rid of it. Total waste of resources. But I want them to get the credit that they deserve and that they need to have. Although there's all kinds of issue there because it's coming from the same IP address. So does it get parsed out? So you're absolutely right. If I could just send the stats back, hey, two people listen to it. Oh, by the way, two people listen to it, this much of it from here to here. Mm-hmm. That'd be great to send back. And I could send it back in some refer as the user agent. Hello, StatsBot talking.
We need a standardized way to do this because it's going to help our immediate use case, and it would solve this problem for getting pass through without actually having to serve this duplicate bandwidth because Spotify wanted to cache the content.
Yeah.
And, that would have actually been, it would actually be good if you let people cache the content, if you could turn around and then tell them,
this is how many people did X.
Here's the stats.
Well, isn't this kind of what Spurlock is talking about? Part of it?
I thought Spurlock was talking about reporting follower counts. Is that not right?
Well, whatever. I mean, follower counts or listen behavior, you know, anonymized. No one has to know who it is. It's irrelevant. Now, of course, you get an app like Franco. He's not going to be able to do this because he has a standalone app. And I don't think there's any other way to do it, but to have some infrastructure.
Quite a few apps are going to be that way. They're not going to have back-end infrastructure that can actually serve. But the apps that are big enough who drive tons of bandwidth usage, they could do this.
Hey, Podcast Index could do it. Come on, get some more disk space, Dave.
Gosh. which leads to yet another thing. Which is HTTP signatures, which I think could come into play with this.
What is the HTTP signatures?
HTTP signatures is what, I don't know if they were the first ones to use this. I don't know the history of HTTP signatures, but it was used by Mastodon. Mastodon started using it. To verify that the requests coming from another instance were actually coming from that other instance.
Right.
So you sign your GET requests or your POST requests or whatever, you sign it with a public key.
You're basically designing Nostr now.
Not really. I mean,
they store content on relays. They have keys.
Yeah, but the keys identify people, not the instance, it's a little, I mean, you're signing your message, but I mean, lots of things sign messages. So you have a, you know, you would have a known public key. Let's say that Apple is wanting to report stats for a pass through of an HLS stream, they could report that back to Buzzsprout, but Buzzsprout could require or whatever the spec is that we're talking about could require them to sign it, to sign the pass through ping, mm-hmm. so that Buzzsprout could confirm that actually was Apple reporting it. That way you get rid of the fraud part.
Hmm.
So HTTP signatures, Cloudflare had an announcement a couple of weeks ago saying that they were going to start, using HTTP signatures, requiring HTTP signatures for bot traffic.
Oh,
So if you're a bot, they're going to want you to sign your HTTP request with a signature, basically to verify who you are. And that's good, because then what that means is they can then build what they were saying in this blog post. It's a good blog post. I'll try to look it up in a second. But what they were saying is what they've always taken the approach of is trying to identify bad bots through behavior, but they could switch gears and identify good bots by the presence of a valid HTTP signature. Then they can say, okay, if you don't sign your bot traffic, we're going to treat you as suspicious, because you're choosing not to give us some sort of identifier of who you actually are. And that in and of itself will be a sign of suspicion.
You know, the internet is just so broken, Dave.
Oh, it is.
All the hoops we have to jump through just to make something very simple, viable, and workable is kind of crazy.
Oh, it's a complete mess. It's a complete mess. But, you know, no, well, Ben Rose, it's not that all hobbyists are suspicious. It's because you, as a hobbyist, you could sign your HTTP request too. I mean, you just need to sign it to say, okay, here's what I am and what I'm doing. I mean, I don't like it. That's not what I'm saying. I don't like having to do all this stuff. But I'm just saying it makes some sense. Because that's why Mastodon did it. Mastodon was like, okay, try, here's the thing is, we run the ActivityPub to Podcast Index API bridge. Man, somebody shares a post and mentions the bridge in there, it gets destroyed.
Really?
for 10 minutes.
Cause everything's just coming at you.
Every instance where somebody follows anything on the bridge, they all start pinging it to death. It's just, I mean, you should see the logs. It's just like just rolling with, and it goes on for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You get annihilated. And if you can protect yourself by saying, okay, if you can protect yourself by saying, okay, I'm only going to accept traffic from you if you identify yourself as somebody that I can then validate as an actual, as an actual other organism that I want to interact with, that's an advantage. I mean, to live on the internet these days, you have to accept the fact that you can become a target for destruction at any moment. Yeah. And you have to sort of take a defensive posture. That's part of the breakage you're talking about. You know, it didn't used to be that way. People would get slash dotted or whatever, but that was an accident. You know, these days that was actually legitimate human beings clicking on things.
Yeah.
These days you get slash dotted 10x by LLM scrapers like Anthropic and, and then they just hammer the dog out of you without even looking at your robot's file.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the worst part.
Yeah.
No one uses that anymore either.
No, they just think a lot of the AI companies, they just ignore it. They don't even look at it. They're just going to scrape your stuff, man. And if OpenAI signs their bot traffic, you can just say, "Oh, I'm just not going to accept it. Sorry. Yeah. I don't want you on my side. Or I don't want you in my podcast or whatever it is."
Well, I'm kind of down, man. Talk me back up. I can't believe all this negativity you're telling me about.
I don't want it to be it doesn't need to be negative. I didn't mean it to be a negative, a downer. I'm just I actually meant it to be a good thing. Because if we design this podcasting 2.0 community is good at.
Yeah, it's true.
Good at designing protocols to help with these things. And if we can, to me, the HLS thing is already, it's already supported. Alternate enclosure, it's done. Do it. Go. Just run with it. The thing that's needed, though, is the pass-through protocol, how to report that. And maybe Spurlock's thing. I'm ashamed of myself for not having printed out his proposal and read it yet. But I need to go back and do that. So maybe he solved some of this. I'll get prepared for that for the next board meeting.
Some celebrations. I mean, it's pretty cool that Pocket Cast seems to be moving down the namespace route, adding Pod Roll, which everyone is kind of talking about. That's cool. Pocket Cast, no slouch.
You can add Pod Roll entries with SplitKit, right? Sovereign feeds, I mean.
Sovereign feeds, yeah.
Can we add one? I got one I want to add.
Yeah, hold on a second. I can do it right now. Let me see. Episode info. No, show info.
Does it pull out the index?
Hold on. It has to be. I think it has to be. Yeah, it does. Show info. Pod roll. Okay. Add. What are we adding?
Fall of Civilizations.
Fall Civilizations?
Fall of Civilizations. Fall
of Civilizations. And Fall of Civilizations podcast. Boom. Added. Talk about awesome coolness. Yeah, that's awesome. I love it when it works like that.
That is an amazing podcast.
Okay. Currently, our pod role is New Media Show, Pod News Weekly Review, No Agenda Show, Phantom Power Business Hour, This Week in Bitcoin, and Fall of Civilizations podcast.
Cool. We should start adding more stuff to this.
Anybody want something else while I'm here?
Yeah, boardroom.
Boardroom. Anyone want anything else? I love the index is so awesome. That feature alone that you can just type in the name of a podcast and it just shows up. I mean, that not in some Silicon Valley based app. It's just cool.
Yeah.
It really is. I love that. And I love it even better when everything updates.
Well, twist the knife, bro.
I thought you might want to just tell everybody what happened, so in case they were concerned that they'd noticed it. You know, just I'm not trying to twist the knife. I mean, it's amazing that this stuff actually works only at all.
It only affected us, really.
Oh, okay.
It only affected the Godcaster stuff.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Yeah, you know, I thought there was another postmortem I needed to do as well. And I forgot what it was.
What else broke? Things that broke this week. TTBW.
I'm looking through my notes.
I don't have anything on here about postmortem of stuff. I guess there was did they do the big show from Bitcoin Live? Bitcoin 2025? Because I was out of pocket, so I didn't see any of it.
I didn't see it too because I was in the forest.
You barely had cell connection.
I'm looking through my. I could have sworn that I had another problem that I had to fix. But I can't. I'll find it. But another problem that I had fixed. Yeah. So what? Like. Yeah, it's a simple, pretty simple issue.
If you don't want to go into it, that's fine. If you just want to
it's fine.
Shut up, Curry. Don't talk about these things.
No, it's fine. I'm trying. It's actually kind of a bigger discussion, and I'm wondering where to start. So there's two issues going on. There's this idea of how fast do you want to update a podcast?
Yes. Yeah, and that's the priority that we have in the setting of the API dashboard.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, and so, you know, no matter how fast your stuff is, you're still limited. You're limited to how, I mean, you can't get everything instantly. So you have to make trade-offs on how fast you get. So if you have something there's very few shows that update like rapidly, like every hour or something. That's not common.
No, there's one the Fox News Hour report or something. That's the and the Fox Business News, which is actually kind of cool.
There's very few. I mean, you know, I'd say less than 100 that do that.
Yeah.
And so that's fine. You just sort of like make some special case for that. And you put those in a list and you're like, okay, if I see that there's a feed that's updating like all the time, then I'll just make sure that it's over here and it gets checked more often. Most everything else falls into this sort of like gray zone where what you really want is for that podcast episode to be found within, let's say, an hour after release.
Within it, yeah.
If it starts to be 2, 3, 4, 5 hours, that becomes a problem.
Just ask Megyn Kelly.
Exactly. Yeah.
She was flipping out. Yeah.
It's always funny to hear people flip out when they have no idea what they're talking about.
No one will answer me at Apple. What kind of company are you running? You take our money for iPhones. You don't even care about my show.
Yeah. And couple of years ago when Glenn Beck supposedly got banned and he was like, he's freaking out. Like, yeah. They banned us. They didn't ban you.
Just an update.
But when it starts to get a lot of hours, you got a problem.
Yeah.
So you really want to hit that sort of sweet spot between, you know, like less than an hour, hopefully less than that. But you don't have to like kill yourself to get every update to be within 10 seconds.
Well, this is why we invented Podping.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And there's so many shows that update with Podping that this is mostly not a problem. There's only a few hosts that this is a problem for.
Think about what they would save. And we've been through this before, of course, but think about how much they would save in bandwidth and cycles. If they just monitored Podping and updated their database based upon Podping, they'd have hundreds of thousands of shows they don't have to poll.
Exactly. And you can do a hybrid approach. You just keep on polling for the shows that don't need it and use Podping for the ones that do.
If Apple does it, everyone will start using it.
I guarantee you our bill is smaller than Apple's.
Oh, no doubt. no doubt.
So that's one issue. It's like, how long after the show comes out do you want to find it? But there's sort of this intermediary issue that is a little hard to account for, and that's the issue we found ourselves in with Godcaster. And that is, so if you have a show like, let's say, like No Agenda or this show, does it matter if this episode pops up in your podcast player at 3:30 or 4:15?
I can tell.
Probably not.
I can tell you from personal experience, yes. It matters a lot to people.
To a vocal minority.
The reason why I wouldn't say it's a vocal minority is vocal, but I don't know if it's a minority, is because we're on a very set schedule.
And you have 850,000 uniques. Mm-hmm. When it doesn't show up in Apple Podcasts for an hour, how many of those people do you hear from?
My whole Twitter timeline is full.
How many did people is that represent?
After 1 hour, I'd say 50. If it's more than that, it's hundreds. And the emails, hundreds.
Hundreds out of 850,000, though.
That's the people who were annoyed by it. How many people? I'm just being, from my perspective, because I'm on a schedule, people know when to expect it. It comes out at the same time. We post it on the website, so they see it come up on the website. That's another problem. Well, it posted here. You posted about it on Twitter. It's not on my podcast app. This is where the problem starts. So they see it. They see a ping. Okay, it's coming, and it doesn't come. My fear is that if someone doesn't get it for 4 hours, which has happened on Apple, it happens on other platforms. My fear is they might listen to something else, and I think it's a valid fear.
Sure, and that's why I'm excluding the 4 hour thing. I'm saying only sub 1 hour things. If on Sunday you release no agenda, and if on Sunday you release no agenda and it gets to most podcast apps within 15 minutes,
that's fine.
And on Thursday it gets to most podcast apps within 40 minutes. What I'm saying is 99% of your audience is not going to be bothered by that.
I'm just
a 30 minute I'm difference.
I'm just going to push back a little bit because the problem is I signal to them it's out. Sure. And people don't understand how this works and they don't have to. So they've seen some art and that's a big part of the audience that, you know, I have 100,000 people following me. So let's say at least 1,000 are going to see it, maybe more. They see the art, they don't see it in their app. There's a disassociation there that people don't understand.
Sure. That's fine. I understand. And Daniel's making a good, you know, he's making the same point in the boardroom is the promotion yeah. versus episode drop mismatch.
But everyone does that. What I mainly hear from people is not Apple sucks. Is no, you forgot to upload to Apple.
Right.
That's what I get. But so that's the difference between where podcasting started. We didn't have any of these social media networks. It was actually delightful. Ah, something new came in. So there's been a change over time. Thank you, Daniel. That. Yes, it's the promotion part. You're like, hey, new episode, it's out, come and get it. And it's not in their devices. And the first person they blame is me. They don't really blame Apple. That's why Megyn Kelly went off, because people were blaming her. She's getting emails and you didn't upload it and you're no good, because people just don't understand. And you can't, I don't think we need to expect that from them. But I don't want to belabor it. I'm just telling you there's real pain there.
Right. Yeah, maybe.
That's why I use Podping. That's why I use Podping. I'm not crazy.
Your show is probably maybe your show is not a great example. I would consider myself a more normal podcast listener. And what I mean by normal is, like, I don't keep track to the minute of when a show is supposed to be released. I kind of roughly know what day they come out on, but I can probably count on one hand the number of times that I've like gone into my app and tried to refresh to see if a show that I know is going to drop that day is there. I just have a more casual relationship with my podcast app, which I think it represents a majority of people.
That's what I'm disagreeing with. We
don't
have
think it's a majority.
No, we have a very small audience with Curry and the Keeper. If we even record an hour later, we already have emails. Are you okay? What's going on? Casey said, or CK said, you know, Curry and the Keeper said, which is separation anxiety disorder. They're already people are texting Tina. When's it coming out? When's it coming out? You know, so it's an expectation. That is, maybe it's a certain kind of podcast. Maybe that's a better way of explaining it. So, for instance, people have no idea when Rogan's podcasts are going to come out. They have no idea.
Right.
There's no schedule there. It's like, yeah, we'll do it Monday, Tuesday, then Thursday, maybe nothing until Monday, because there's no set schedule. When you set a schedule, which is my golden rule, try to release the same day the same hour.
Mm-hmm.
You set that expectation, and then when it fails, people freak out. That's
okay. I think you're explaining it too. Is the hardcore schedule?
Like, yeah, that's it.
If you take a show, take a show like Pod News Weekly Review, that show comes out just, you don't know when it's, you know, it's going to come out sometime Friday morning, but there's no exact time that it comes out. So you just know to expect it at some point on a Friday morning, US time.
And so if I wake up Friday morning and it's not there, I'm bummed. Because that's my dishwasher emptying and stacking podcast.
Right, I know, but do you know if it came out at 3 a.m. or 5 a.m.?
No, I don't. But that's the point I'm making. Yeah, but they're releasing at a smart time.
I get it, but this is all groundwork for what I'm trying to explain here.
And I just keep grinding you to a halt. I know. I'll be quiet. disagreeing. Sorry, I don't want to stop the train.
No, you're making a valid point about podcasts that are on a definitive ultra tight schedule. What I'm saying is, a show like Power, if it comes out at 3 a.m. our time or 4 a.m. our time, really doesn't make a whole lot of difference.
Okay, I'm going to say one more thing and I'll shut up. For people,
I'm triggering you so hard right now.
Because this has been my life for almost 18 years. People who are in Europe, they expect that with their breakfast. They expect it at 7 a.m. it's going to drop, and it doesn't. Their day may be ruined. So the time schedule for us is great, but not necessarily for someone in a different time zone. I'm just saying that the behavior of people is when a podcast comes out on the same day at more or less the same time, they schedule their lives and their activity and their joy around it.
Sure.
And so the two variables that don't fit in what you're trying to, and then I'm really going to stop. The two variables that don't, I'm going to
no,
try.
You're not.
No, probably not. The two, because I live this. I really, this is, people say, what's your number one rule of podcasting? This is it. Release on the same day at the same time, because people build their lives around it. And when they don't get it, they're going to go find something else, because it's like crack. I need my thing. I need my fix. And well, what else is in my podcast app?
Mm-hmm.
That and promotion. When promotion is asynchronous to the update, that every single no agenda, I tell people, get a modern podcast app because you want it tied into Podcast Index, because it understands Podping. And within 90 seconds of me releasing the show, it's going to be in your app. That's the number one selling point that I tell everybody about the modern podcast apps. Okay.
Okay. Now you are a
successful podcaster. Exactly.
You're like an LLM right now. I'm just going to prompt you and you're going to say,
let's take a deep dive.
What you are a subscriber to On the Media.
Okay, this is a good example.
The podcast called On the Media, correct?
This is a good example, yes.
Okay, you know what days it comes out. It comes out on Wednesdays, the midweek show, right?
Mm-hmm.
What time does it come out? What hour of the day does it release?
In my schedule, that show doesn't matter as much because it will always be there when I walk Phoebe Wednesday night. So
right. That's the point I'm making.
But if my schedule to listen to it was earlier in the day, I might feel differently about it. So it varies per podcast.
Right.
It varies. In an ideal world, in an ideal human behavior world, every podcast would come out the same time, the same day. I think in the world we live in today, not 15 years ago. Then it was just crap. I can't believe an episode came out.
Your original desire for podcasts was that you'd go to bed that night and you'd wake up in the morning and you'd have new stuff.
but that was based on different criteria. It was based on no bandwidth. Yeah, but
sure, so, I understand. But that, but I'm, what I'm saying is the podcast, the desire, the goal of podcasts was a time was to make the delivery asynchronous to the publishing.
No.
The linear broad was to break the linear broadcast model.
No, that's
where
what
you it, didn't.
That that's what it became. The original intent behind podcasting is we have no bandwidth. There's no experience between clicking and experience. It would take 3, 5, 10 minutes before something downloaded and played.
That's what I'm trying to say.
But that's different. That's different from. So the last yard was. What you don't know won't hurt you, but it doesn't mean that I still didn't want to get it approximately at the same time. Anyway, we're going to go round and round on this and and we're never going to come to agreement. But I saw last night Netflix for some reason just broke and nothing was working. And I went on X and people were losing their ever loving minds.
Right.
Because technology didn't work the way they expected it to. And people just come to expect things if you train them that way, which is what I do. And when technology lets me down, it lets everybody down.
So, okay, I think we're getting bogged down in the weeds of shows that have a very predictable schedule, which many do not. Like it. So the show I mentioned earlier, Fall of Civilizations, look at the feed on that thing. There are months that go by between episodes because each episode is a very intense research project. And so there may be 4 months between an episode.
Yeah.
So you really have no clue when that thing is going to come out.
Of course. I'm in total agreement. It's like
right.
Goats, guns, and gold. You don't know when something's coming out, and I'm always looking, hey, new episode, no new episode, and all of a sudden he'll do 4 in a week. So, yeah, of course there are podcasts like that, of course.
Rogan is another example.
Good example.
You just don't know. You don't know.
No.
And so for those shows.
It doesn't matter.
It just doesn't matter if it's an hour, if it takes an hour to get the new episode. So
unless everybody on Twitter is going, wow, this is a great episode. Oh, this is an awesome guest.
Right. But at that point, the episode has already shown up.
Not an Apple.
Okay. Fine. What this whole thing has been about is trying to get at our clients are serving radio, our clients are radio stations mm-hmm. primarily. And the radio stations, most of the daily podcasts that they have in their lineup,
they release at midnight.
They release it at night. Yeah. Yep. In the middle of the night at US time.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's in the middle of the night US time. So we have a time window that it's like, if it hits 6 a.m. and we don't have the new episodes yet, then that's a problem.
Yes. Yes. I completely agree. And that's absolutely the biggest problem I have is I stream live and I get it out live. If we just recorded a podcast and then we just release it, you know, every Thursday at 8 p.m., it will be fine.
Yeah. And so that's what the issue was that caused this is that script broke because I was trying to fix, I think there's something wrong with Red Circle's pod pings.
Mm.
They don't seem to be acting right. I'm not getting them in a predictable way they are coming through. It seems like, but they just don't seem accurate. So I'm not sure what's going on there. And so I was trying to fix a problem with Red Circle's pod ping, and they have a script that checks the Godcaster. So there's about roughly 6,000 feeds in Godcaster. It makes sure to check those feeds about once an hour.
Yeah.
to make sure that we're up to date. And so that I was making a change to that script to account for the red circle because it was excluding red circle from the script because red circle does pod ping. So I removed that exclusion so that it would force check red circle as well. And I made a couple of other changes that I noticed needed to be made. And I had a typo in there and it just broke. And so all of a sudden you had this huge delay.
Yeah. Yeah.
That we don't know. And it just brought this up, this whole idea back of, well, what is an acceptable delay? You know, is it 10 minutes? Is it five? Is it 30? Is it 1 hour? It's different.
I mean,
it's different for all for each. It's different. Different shows have different needs.
And yeah. For different people. Totally agree. I am going to dedicate myself because of this very conversation.
Okay.
To promoting Podping everywhere I go. Because we have fixed the problem.
It has been fixed.
It has been fixed. And so it actually hurts me that you and I are having this conversation, although entertaining. I'm sure it's good listening. it hurts me because we have such a beautiful fix that hundreds of thousands of podcasts are using, but the biggest podcast clients, let's just say Spotify and Apple, are just too, ignorant, not invented here. I don't know what your problem is. Get your shit together, people. Fix yourself. Seriously, fix yourself. This is one thing we could do to fix a huge problem in the industry. Apple looked bad. They just looked bad. They looked like they were lame and stupid. And by not using Podping and by not calling your top shows and saying, who are you hosted with? All right, let's get them on. It's so simple. I could vibe code it for you. It's that simple.
Please do that and send it to Ted.
I mean,
do it in Swift.
It's a solved problem, and it's one of the biggest innovations that we have put into the podcasting world that solves such a big problem. It's baffling that people are not all over this. It's baffling. Does Pocket Cast use it?
Pocket Cast use Podping? I think they do.
No, I bet you they do.
Because I talked to their engineering guy. I sent him the documentation on it. I'm almost positive they did.
Yeah. So that it's just painful because we fixed this. We have fixed this problem. When people say to me, you have an upload app, I say, get a better podcast app.
Yeah, that's
the answer. Get a better podcast app. So it hasn't updated on Pandora. So what are you doing? You should be arrested for using Pandora for your podcast. That's illegal.
I didn't even know they had podcasts.
I didn't either, but apparently they do.
Yeah. Podping comes standard with blockchain, so it's got to be great.
Yeah, good point, Chad. Apple's now using blockchain. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Nathan G posted a blog post. Pocket Cast does support Podping. Of course they do.
Yeah. And that's beautiful. It's beautiful.
I need to take I need to do a screenshot on my phone one day of whenever you release this show.
Yeah.
And it pod pings of all the apps that notify me like immediately.
They notify you that they have it?
Yeah. There is always like a Castomatic.
It's like an act.
Because I usually have
an act that comes back.
Well, I get a push notification. It's like new episode. You know, it would be cool to see which, like, time it and say, okay, I got these handful of apps, like, within, 5 minutes.
You know, it's such an important part of the broadcast ecosystem. I love the live pod, the lit pod ping. It's the most awesome thing. I always say, hey, get a modern podcast app. When we send out the bat signal, i.e. we go live, you'll be notified.
Yeah.
It's like, it's so simple. It's one of the most beautiful things that we have in podcasting today.
Infuriatingly simple.
It really. Well, I'm sorry. I hope you don't hold it against me that I just went full bore in you on this topic. But I'm very passionate about it.
The most annoying part was that you were right, and that made me angry.
Wow. I wish my wife would be like that. You know, I just wanted to, I'm angry because you're right.
I just wanted to blow past you and get to my point, and you just kept making good points, and I was like, derp. Dang it. Why can't you just be wrong?
Hey, I'm wrong plenty of times. You get me all the time. You get me all the time.
Well.
Shall we thank some people?
Oh, yeah, sure. We've been rolling, haven't we?
Yeah, okay. Well, I want to make sure you get out on time. We have some boost coming in live. 971 sats from Dave Jackson. He says, I listen to you at Walmart grocery shopping every Friday night. That's how I party on Friday nights.
Party at the Walmart.
That's right. That's right. School of podcasting. 1123 sats from Lyceum. I miss you guys. Here's a short part of a Fibonacci sequence. All the best. Martin Lindeskog. All right, Martin. He sent that twice for some reason, coming in cool. from
twice is true better fans. Than once.
That's right. 1234 from Salty Crayon. Hello, boardroom. Gone are the days of using the keep it simple sucker method for V4V apps and the simplicity of boosting anyone from your favorite enabled app. So we're back to the same camps. Run/rent a node or get forced into Fountain app, which still cannot show live video in the app itself. $50 a month is unrealistic for new or less than $10 a month earning podcasters. That is in sats a month. If they are lucky, sticking with Keysend. Not everyone wants NOS or Bolt 11 either. This is not motivating.
Whoa.
You know, I,
that was a brain dump.
I rage quit the Telegram group the other day because there's so... Wait,
the podcasting 2.0?
No. It's one of Stephen B's emporium of apps.
Okay.
There's just so much, you know, just this infighting over, you know, the price is too high and you're not using Keysend and, you know, Bitcoin forever and all this stuff. And I just like, this... Mm. Okay, fine. I just had to leave because it just gets me all worked up.
The Bitcoin forever, maybe, but we only get 2 booster grams this week, so I'm not real convinced that Bitcoin forever is working here.
By the way, allow me to play you 2 short clips from Bitcoin 2025.
Oh, Lord.
Your vice president, J.D. Vance.
But I actually think that where Bitcoin is going is as a strategically important asset for the United States over the next decade. It's one of the reasons why President Trump, with the help of our great AI guy, David Sachs, it's one of the reasons why we started the Bitcoin
Reserve. I want to be the great AI guy.
Yes. Because we want to start to put in motion the strategic importance of Bitcoin for the United States government. We know that the PRC doesn't like Bitcoin. The People's Republic of China doesn't like Bitcoin. Well, we should be asking ourselves, why is that? Why is our biggest adversary such an opponent of Bitcoin? And if the Communist Republic of China is leaning away from Bitcoin, then maybe the United States ought to be leaning into Bitcoin. And that's one of the things that we're going to be doing.
Worst possible take. Reasons to use Bitcoin. China hates it. Okay.
Why should you use Bitcoin? Because of the communists.
The commies don't like it, so it's good. And here is a supercut of all the rest of Bitcoin 2025.
Stable coins. I like that one effeminate guy. Stable coin.
We move on with 1,000 sats from Daoma. Daomah. Is this? I don't recognize this name. Do you?
No.
Daoma? Well, just in case.
You've been defragmented.
Thank you for supporting us. He says, Christ has ascended. All right.
Amen, brother.
Amen to that. 333 from Salty Crayon coming in from CurioCaster. Adam, if you think Max Velocity is nerdy, watch Ryan Hall, y'all. This is it. Why'd you boost it on podcasting 2.0? He has way more going on and has an AI bot called Y'all Bot that does weather updates and snaps back at the chart for talking crap. Okay. Cotton cool. Gin. 1234. Hello, Franklin, he says. It's from the pre-stream. Sage single confirmed from Salty Crayon 111. Dreb Scott 7777 pre-boosting the boost. Hoping you got some much needed time away. Yes, it was very nice. Thank you very much. And I hit the delimiter. You're right. We didn't get it. Well, we weren't here, so it's not expected to get of sets.
That's true. I forgot about
that. Oh, wait. Last one comes in from Martin Lindeskog. By the way, great opportunity to send us a row of ducks, this being show 222. We send this 2222.
Oh, yeah.
Fascinating discussion about publishing time. Adam, I understand your golden rule. Dave, I like your take on the issue. Now I have to create a new podcast with a co-host, create a listening behavior according to the bat signal. Maybe an afternoon tea time. Go podcasting and podping. Yes.
Oh, Martin, quit being a politician. Pick a side.
Really? Stop being a libertarian.
Who won? I've got some PayPals. I got Buzzsprout. $1,000.
Baller, shot caller, 20-inch blades on the Impala.
Thank you, brother, so much for keeping us rolling. Thank you. That's much appreciated. The index hums along thanks to you and everyone's support of the show.
Every month. Thank you, Tom and Kevin and all the guys over there. Appreciate it.
And the gals.
And girls.
And the girls.
And the gals. And the girls. Let's see who we got. We got Oystein Berra, $5.
Thank you, Oystein.
Yep. Jorge Hernandez, $5. This is a mix up because I didn't have time to print them. Michael Goggin, $5. Thank you, Michael. James Sullivan, $10. Cohen Glotzbach, $5. I think Cohen is, I think he's part of AntennaPod.
Oh. Well, I like AntennaPod. It's like the most open source podcast ever in the universe or something.
You can't get more open source than that thing is. Yeah. Christopher Reamer, $10. Jordan Dunville, $10. Chris Bernardick, $5. Dreb Scott, $15.
Thank you.
Michael Kimmerer, $5.33. Pedro Goncalves, $5. Who is this? Oh, here's a new one. Aaron Bergman, $5. Thank you, Aaron. And his message says, Godspeed.
He's been what?
His message said, Godspeed.
Oh, Godspeed to you, brother. Martin sent a 1776 and says, Adam won, but I voted for Dave. Okay.
classic politician. Okay, you're a libertarian is what you are. $25 from the School of Podcasting. That's going to be Daniel and Dave Jackson.
Thank you. Thank you, boys.
Oh, no. School of Podcasting. That's School Dave Jackson. School of Podcasting.
Yeah, okay.
Future of Podcasting is D&D.
Yep. So this came from the school or the future?
The school.
Oh, that's from Dave. Yeah, okay.
Present, not the future. Message says, nice to have you back. Go podcasting.
Yes.
Thank you, Dave. And we got some booster grams. We got Chaos 99, 2,000 sats.
Thank you.
It says, great episode, gents. That came through Fountain. Well, thank you. Appreciate that. And the Delimiter, CSB. 14, 160 sats. Thank you, brother. Through Fountain, he says, howdy, non-Slavic friends, Adam and Dave. Today, I want to recommend my own podcast. Just search for Field Recordings by CSB in any app to enjoy pure, unedited soundscapes. No talking, no narration, no voices, just birds singing fucking songs. Just like tears in rain, with non-flying cars humming in background. Other noises, some jarring, some nicer. No talkie. Press play, focus, and let the world be your soundtrack. Subscribe now, bro. Your friendly neighborhood Slav. Yo, CSB.
Nice.
Now, that is not AI. That is not LLM.
No, that's pure CSB. That's pure CSB. Now, that is, what is it called again, the podcast?
Field Recordings.
Field Recordings. CSB's
Field Recordings.
Field Recordings. Very nice.
Pod Roll.
Field Recordings. Hold on, let me see.
Field Recordings podcast by CSB. That is podcast index number 70535. 01.
Field recordings. Well, there it is. It's in, you're in the pod roll, in the pipe and in the pod roll. Done.
You've been pod rolled. Also, in the field recordings by CSB podcast includes a field recording by yours truly.
Something you recorded?
Yeah.
Nice.
Way back in the episode.
I used to do, what I call them? I used to go out on the street with two mics on my lapel at night, and I'd record it, and I'd talk to people, homeless people mainly. It was called what do we call those? Not soundscape. A sound seeing tour, I think is what we called it. Sound seeing tour. And I'd go out like a Marconi square there in San Francisco with all the homeless people and just walk around and talk to them. There was full on stereo. People really like that. Yeah. I should do something like that again.
That's pretty cool. As part of a Hello Fred feature.
I don't think so. No, man, we're all about the hot rock and top 40 music, everybody. Hello Fred.
Episode 26 from December 7th of 2024 is the Sipsy Fork Wilderness as recorded by yours truly.
Nice. Well, you're in the pod roll, Dave. Beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody, for that's everything. Do you have monthlies or that's all the...
That's it.
That's it. The podcast index is a value for value proposition. Everything that comes in for this show goes directly to the podcast index. You are supporting the machines, the tens of machines. What are you up to now? Like 40? We got to have 40 machines running on that thing.
Tens of machines. Yeah. I've counted them up a while back. I don't remember.
I thought you had like 30 crawlers and all kinds of stuff.
No, it's only 10 aggregators.
Oh,
I think it's like 27 machines or something.
27 machines. Dave's home office is like Star Trek. It's got all these logs going and looking at everything. Tail minus F is Dave's life. That's what it is.
You don't want to know how many servers total I manage across all my domains.
I bet it's 100. I bet it's 100.
Oh, it's close to 200.
Wow. How can one man do it? There's only one man that can do it. His name is the Pod Sage. He is Dave Jones, everybody. All right, brother. Yeah, what are you doing this weekend? Hanging out? You're not going back into the wilderness?
No. I'm finishing up our closet renovation. The master bedroom renovation is almost complete.
Very nice. We're hosting some people for dinner. So nice. What I'll do is I'll update this in a couple hours or so, whenever I feel like it. And then we'll see. Tell everybody to contact Dave Jones.
No, you update it now, and then I'll make sure the index doesn't get it for at least a couple hours.
There you go. Have a great weekend, brother.
You too.
All right, Boardroom, thank you so much. We'll be back here next Friday with more joy. See you then.
Podcasts are cool.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting!
It leads to tears, people, is what it leads to.